So for all of you that hate it loud, fast, and wild, today was for you. Y'all better tithe a little more today. No. So glad we're here. Glad y'all are here. We're still in our moment series. We're glad that we got through the winter thing. Golly, when it was the worst, Marley and I and the boys lost our heater in our old little two-room shack that we love. So we went and stayed with Wesley and his wife, which we were thankful for until I woke up before Wesley, as I always do. And I thought, I'm going to stoke the fire. So I put me a good old log on there that I thought would heat us up, make us feel right at home right there in the morning, and smoke the dadgum house plum out. We had to get out of there. We still smell like smoke, so we couldn't get warm either way. So anyway, we're still in our moments, man. Today we're going to talk about a cool story in 1 Samuel, just another story about God using an unlikely person, a person that if it was up to me and you, we wouldn't choose. We would think he was too young. We would think he wasn't ready. We would think all these things that we're going to read about. But it's just another cool story that we like to talk about in this church a lot, about just using common people. 1 Corinthians 1:27, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and thank God for that, right? So before we get going, let's pray. So God, thank you for this day. Thank you for these people. Lord, help me to slow down. Help me to listen. Lord, help me to just listen to what you have me say today, God. I pray that you would help me, Lord. I need your help. I need you to speak through me, Lord, and meet these people where they are in their lives today and the battles that they're fighting and the things that they have going. I just pray, God, that today this message would hit them right where they sit, Lord, right where they're going through in their lives and what they got going on. So just use this, Lord. Use this day and use this sermon. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to be looking at David and Goliath with a story that we should all know, right? A story that we've all heard about, maybe not read and all the things, but we've told them the little kid book in our Bible that we read to our kids. We all know those, right? But before that, before we get to the fight, I kind of want to give you a vision of kind of what was going on before all that. So before all that, those things started beginning with David, Saul was the first king over Israel. Saul was this new thing, this thing that the people wanted. They wanted a king just like all the other nations. And they had Samuel, who was a prophet and who was a judge, but he was getting old and his sons weren't really doing what they were supposed to be doing. So they wanted a king to be like everybody else. They wanted a king to tell them what to do. And all these things started happening. So God sent Samuel to anoint him. And God goes over there and anoints him. And Saul, he's rocking and rolling. They're defeating armies. They're fighting. They're doing all the things that kings are supposed to be doing. But how many of you know when we start winning a little bit, when we start doing a little bit of good, we kind of get a little bit prideful. You know what I'm saying? So Saul, he's in this moment, in this time, comes another deal where the Lord's fixing to tell him something to go do and somebody to go kill and another battle to go fight. Well, he's kind of getting cocky. And Proverbs tells us, you know, pride comes before a fall. And so Saul, he goes into this deal a little bit prideful, a little bit disobedient when he goes over here to the nomadic tribe of the Amalekites and he goes to fight them. And God tells him, he says, destroy everything. Kill all the babies, kill all the wives, kill all the people, and kill all the animals. It's just the instructions from the Lord. And how many of you know when the Lord instructs us to do something, we better listen because there's some consequences on the other side. So this was a big deal, huge deal over there. Like, think about it. If you're wanting this guy and he finally bring him, they said he was good looking. All these people were looking to him. They wanted him. It's this awesome thing that happened. Well, the very first one failed. It was a big deal. They kind of probably freaking out and everything. But how many of you know, if you've been walking with the Lord and God's been preparing you and God's been growing you up in your walk with Christ and doing all these things with you, when it's your time, when he calls on you, he'll be ready. And when something else fails, he'll have something ready, right? So this wasn't a big deal to the Lord, just like everything, but God had already had a plan. He already had a man ready, a young man, ready to take over. So that brings us to chapter 16 in 1 Samuel. He sends Samuel to Bethlehem to the house of Jesse. God tells him, he says, choose and anoint the youngest son of Jesse, who is David. The Bible says that David comes up to Samuel, pulls out his horn, like a horned Hereford horn, not no dadgum black, sorry, Angus horn. This son had him a horned Hereford horn full of anointing oil. And it says that when he poured this on David right then, the Spirit of the Lord rushed over and rushed upon David. The Spirit of the Lord came to him. Well, meanwhile, the Spirit of the Lord has left Saul because he was disobedient. God rejected Saul as king because he did not do what God told him to do. So meanwhile, it's left Saul. And also, God has sent a harmful spirit to jack Saul up. So he's getting tormented by this harmful, these spirits, these things that the Lord's sending him for being disobedient to the Lord. Well, we all know, you know, David, he's pretty talented, right? He's kind of like old skinny Gene Darren up here in good-looking Connor. They can play the dadgum harmonica, hit the kick drum, play the guitar, and do all those things at one time because they're talented, right? Well, David, bigger guy than Connor. David, man, he plays the lyre, and I don't know if I'm saying that right, the lyre, the lyre, I don't know. My Bible says the lyre. Marley says I say it wrong. I don't know what the heck. But anyway, the lyre, y'all know the big old deal, that some type of music back then, whatever. So Saul sends out. He hears about David playing that thing, and these things are tormenting him and wearing him out, and these things in his mind are just whooping him down and beating him down. So he sends out his people, and they go find David. And then he reaches out to David's dad, and he says, hey, I want your son to come work for me. I need somebody to play that lyre, lyre, whatever it is, so that I can get away from these demons and this stuff that's aggravating my mind and all these things that are happening. So that brings us to this point where David's tending to sheep over here and working for Saul, right? He's got a couple of things going on. Chapter 17 is where we're going to be. So turn to your Bibles in chapter 17, and that's where we're going to read a bunch of scripture from. So keep up, pay attention, keep your head on a swivel. We're going to get through a whole bunch of it, and it's going to be good. If you're in 17, say, let's go.
Let's go.
Five of them are there. Hey, so at this point, Jesse, the father of David, he sends David. He says, hey, take these groceries down there to where they're camped. Take these groceries down there where the army's camped, the army of Israel. They're down there fighting the Philistines. The Philistines are on this side on a mountain, it says, and over here on this side is the army of Israel. And he says, hey, take them down there. Saul's down there. He said, take these groceries down there. He's got some stuff for Saul. He's got some stuff for his brothers, and his brothers over there, a part of the army. And then it says for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath, he comes out, he steps out every morning, bows his chest out, and he defies the armies of the living God. He defies Israel. He cusses them. He cusses everybody in the camp. He says, hey, you send somebody to fight me. If I win, y'all serve me. If y'all win, we'll serve you. He just up there running his mouth, running his head, just being a worldly guy, ready to fight, ready to make corruption, doing all these things. And then here comes David with the groceries. So go to verse 26. And David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? Skip to verse 28. Now Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep with in the wilderness? I know your presumption and the evil of your heart, for you have just come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not just about a word? Verse 30. And he turned away. I love it. He turned away like, shut up, man. And he turned away from him toward another and spoke in the same way. And the people answered him again as before. Well, this reminds me like when Cody was talking about when we were in the part where he was talking about Abraham and Isaac, you know, the Bible said, hey, Abraham, God says you need to take two guys with you. So he takes his servants with him. They're walking across the deal. He's already made his son gather the wood that's going to ultimately burn him up, going to sacrifice him. It's him, his son, and these two guys. They get to the mountain where God said, go up that mountain, sacrifice your only son, the son that you wanted so bad. Go up there and do what I say. I want to see what your obedience looks like, Abraham. So before he goes up to the mountain, he says to these two guys work for him, he says, you two stay down here. I know y'all have walked a long way with me, several days with me, but now y'all stay down here. And Cody said he was always wondered why he told him to stay there, and he got to praying, and he got to seeking, and he got to asking, and the Lord said, if he would have, those two guys would have went up that mountain with him, they wouldn't have let him do what the Lord called him to do. So right here, I mean, it's the same deal. It's the same thing. His brother, who isn't where he is in the walk with Christ. His brother hasn't been doing the things that David's been doing. His brother isn't where his mind is with Christ. So here he is. He's trying to take him away from his calling that God has on his life, right? He's trying to tell him, man, get your butt out of here. You've brought your groceries. You've done your things. Now get your butt back over there. You're just a little boy tending to little sheep. Now leave us, right? Well, David's like, no, sir. The Spirit of the Lord has rushed upon me when I was anointed by Samuel. He said, I'm going to come. I have a calling on the Lord. It ain't nothing to scare me if all of you thousands of men are scared and all of you guys are just listening to him and to him and following the world and doing what the worldly things are, and nobody's going to stand up. He's saying, man, I will. He's saying, I'll go. I don't care what you try to stop me. I'll turn around and talk to this guy. It's exactly what we're seeing, right? So when God calls, just go, no matter your age, no matter anything. If you're prepared and if you've been walking with the Lord and he has you prepared, just go. It won't fail. 31. When the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth, and he arose against me. I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. 36, your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and the uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said to the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. I just want y'all to see in this moment, this is one of my favorite parts of this saying. When I was going back over this and reading this, the Lord showed me this. He's just thinking like at this moment, like his brothers tried to say, don't go. His brothers said to go home. Now Saul's like, man, you're just a young boy. You're just a young man. You can't fight. I got a whole army of 1,000 men sitting over here on their butts not doing nothing. You can't fight him. What makes you think you can go? And then all these people are in his ears, right? All these people are in his head telling him, you can't do this. You can't do that. No, you can't go. But he never forgot what God did in his life. And he started remembering in that moment the victories that he had with the Lord. He started remembering where God delivered him through things that maybe weren't so very easy. He started remembering all of the things that God had brought him out of. And I just say and think about that right now, that we need to be remembering sometimes and stop being and taking the punches and being a punching bag for the enemy, and remember that by God, we come up here every Sunday and every Wednesday because we serve a God who's overcome the enemy, who's already went there, who's already been there. And he tells us in his Bible too, that you guys should just have peace in this world because I've already overcome it. Well, that's what David was thinking about. He was the only one. He was the only one that had the mindset of, I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to go and take the fight to the enemy, and I'm going to run, and I'm going to bull rush him, and I'm going to kill him, but all you guys can just sit here if you want to. So when someone like Saul or something's trying to tell you don't go, just bow up and remind them what God delivered you from. Because he'll do it again. He's a good God. 38, Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. 39, and David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. So right here, I want you to see another deal. Man, somebody trying to change up your game. God did not make me the same as he did Marley. God did not make me the same as he did my dad. He didn't make me the same as, he didn't make you the same as your siblings or your parents. Like, we are all different people right here. So however you and God went and whipped the bear, do that again. However you and God went and whipped the lion, do that again. It's going to look a little different. Your fights and your victories are going to look different than my victories. Mine are going to look different than Marley's. It's all going to be a fight through this day and age on this earth. But as long as we just go with the Lord, he is our shield, right? So we just got to go and how we need to go and stop trying to do it like everybody else. And right here, because just like Saul's trying to change the game for David, David finally stood up and said, hey, look, I can't go like this. This ain't how I do it. This isn't how the Lord uses me. So he takes it off and he goes in confidence. As long as we're close to God, just go fight. 41, and the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. 42, and when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, who you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the beasts, the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then he says in 47, and that all this assembly, talking about all these men that are sitting in these trenches, thousands of them in the army that are just following what the next guy's doing, just doing what the next guy's doing, just being the norm, just going with the world, just going with the flow, so that these assemblies may know that for the battle is the Lord's and he will give it into your hand. Look, the battle that you're going through, whatever you're fighting in your life, whatever you're facing right now, or whatever you faced before, or whatever keeps coming back, or whatever you're trying to fight with, and Just take the Lord. Just go with the Lord. Don't be waiting on. We always want to call. I don't know about y'all, but I always want to call my dad all the time. Like, Dad, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Yes, he gives me my advice and he gives me the things, but he's not living in the world that I'm living in daily. He's not living in the mind that I'm living in daily. He's got his battles. I've got my battles. But hey, we all were made in the image of God, and we all can reach out to the Lord in those times of battles, and we can ask the Lord, Lord, I know I need to slow down a little bit. Everybody's all, slow down, Cole. Well, sometimes even God says, hey, slow down. And it's usually when I'm driving or when I'm riding a horse by myself or prowling, and that's when I hear from the Lord. I just got to remember to slow down. So some of you that are fighting something mentally, something that maybe you're fighting physically, all the things that you're going through, that we all have these things that we're going to go through in this life, I would say just slow down. Just slow down and get with the one who created you and the one that you serve and the one that you drive up here to praise and all the things, and just stop trying to fight without the Lord. 48, my favorite verse. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly. So all you people that tell me to slow down, David ran everywhere he went. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. He didn't bob and weave. He didn't think about a plan. He didn't think about what I'm going to do. He didn't worry. He didn't call his dad. He didn't write a letter. He didn't do none of those things. He said, no, sir, I'm going to grab my pocket right here. I'm going to get me a stone, and I'm going to go to the fight, and I'm going to go to the enemy right here, and I'm going to come so fast and so hard he don't know what hit him, because I'm coming with the Lord, and the Lord is on my side, and the Lord has delivered me, and I'm going to do it again with the Lord. And you know, the enemy's going to keep coming. The enemy's going to keep coming. Cody talked about another one of our moment series about the test. It's all a test. Are you going to pass the test? They're going to keep coming. They're going to keep coming. You're going to have this. You're going to have that. It's never going to be a perfect road. It's never going to be a good, smooth, bladed road ready for just smooth sailing. Like, there's always going to be something to come, right? So let's just quit running. Let's quit hiding. And let's just realize that we serve the one who has already beat the enemy, who's already defeated the enemy. And let's take the fight to him and stop letting him take the fight to us. Another thing the Lord spoke to me about when I was reading this is to never forget that every battle is important. The big battles, the little battles, they're all important, and they may not always just be important for you. Marley and I's big battle with our marriage and the wrecks that we got in and all the things that I told y'all about the other day, was it important for her and my future? Yes. But how much more critical was it for Hayes and Holden's future? Innocent souls. We're protected because mom and dad said, you know what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord's going to mean for good. We're going to quit living the way that we're living. We're going to start surrendering our life to God, the one who delivered us out, and we're going to be obedient to him every day, and we're not going to worry about where he's going to take us or what he's going to ask us to do. We're just going to be obedient. We're not going to listen to the voices over here that remind us of who we were. We're not going to listen to the haters over here about iPhones and all the things and everything. We're just going to keep rolling and seeking God because he's the one that delivered us out of the trap. He's the one that made our marriage new. He's the one that made her heart new, made my heart new, and made us two different new people. It's what we decided that we're going to do. And when I was reading that this morning and going back over that, it hit me, you know, talking about I realize and she realized, and it's sad. It's just a sad fact and it's a real deal. But I know that there's some people in here who have been through a divorce, who have been through these things with their children. And it's hard and it's not easy. But can I tell you this? If that is you and yours didn't go the way that mine and Marley's went, your word, find that Bible and get it out and read it, because it tells you that he gives you the desires of your heart. And if you desire a family and a husband and a wife or whatever that looks like in your life, to bring your family together and raise y'all up, to have a new start and a new slate and a clean slate to start all over, he'll give it to you. Find them verses that we lived on. Find them. He's got things planned for you that you can't imagine, it says. But we can't get into those things and we can't tap into those things until we start surrendering to him and going all in for him. Another thing, man, your well-fought battles, they may not be for you, but somebody else may see you win and they think they can do it. It may be their breakthrough. You may be their breakthrough. God may use you for them to get through. He may not tell you, they may not come and tell you, that we may never know. But it doesn't matter because it's all about him, right? It ain't about our goodness. It ain't about what we do and say and all the things that we think we're high and mighty about. It's not about that. It's about God did something in our life. So by God, we're going to seek the Lord, and hopefully our life now that we live will help somebody else get through the breakthrough that they need. So let's see what happens when one man goes in confidence. And don't forget, he's running. Right now he's running to the enemy. And David put his hand in his bag, and he took out a stone, verse 49, and he struck the Philistine on his head, forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. Verse 50, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. 51, then David ran. There he is running again. You some bucks need to start running somewhere, getting a little pep in your step. Quit walking slow. he ran and he stood over the Philistine. He took his sword and drew it out of the sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion had died, they fled. 52. And the men of Israel and Judah, all the men that were sitting back, all the men for 40 days and 40 nights have been listening to this sucker defy the one they believe in, defy the one that they think is the one that set them free from their battles, that did all these things for him. They're sitting in these trenches for 40 days. And then one guy shows up. One young man shows up. And it says they rose with a shout, like Connor was talking about. I don't know what 1,000 men shouting sounded like, but I bet it was pretty daggum cool. And it says they pursued the Philistines. So guess what? One guy running, one guy going to the fight, one guy giving it all, one guy having confidence in the Lord and not in himself, sent a charge through thousands of other men to get up and run their butt to the enemy too, and they killed every one of them. So all those men that were just following the crowd, man, they were just listening to what they did. They were going off of what they heard, what they're buying, what they're doing, the trailers they pull, the trucks they drive, all the things that we do in this life. They were just going off of this and that. Well, you can't do this, or you can't do that. Well, I had a marriage like this, and it went like this. It ain't the same for nobody else. Walk your own walk with the Lord. Listen to the Lord and have the discernment and build a discernment in your gut, and the Lord will see you through, and it will help others come through theirs. So we need more men and women to go against the norms. Pacheco, if you'll come off. Wrap this up. We got to stop following what everybody's doing. So what's the bottom line? If y'all kill those lights, please. And y'all just bow your heads and close your eyes, and I'm going to ask you some questions. What's the bottom line today? The first thing is God uses the least likely for mighty things. It doesn't take a perfect man. It doesn't take a man that knows all the Bible, that's read all the Bible, that's preached here and preached there and done this and done that. It doesn't take a woman that's just a perfect wife or a perfect mother or all the things. It doesn't take any of that. It just takes an obedient soul for Christ. When we're committed and go all in, he'll go before us. Man, everything that we were so worried about over here, owning our own place, all the things I told you about the other day, everywhere that my ability couldn't go, he put somebody in the gap. It was here when we got here. It was set up. But we just believed it, and we went for faith, and he already has it set up, and he's got it set up for you too. He's got it set up for you to win the victories, for you to get through the battles, for you to get through the things that you've got going on. Don't let people talk you out of what God's will is for your life. Man, it's going to be family. It's going to be friends. It's going to be, it can be anybody and anything. It can be things, amen. Don't let them do it. Don't let them take you away from it. When we're walking in obedience with him and when we're close to him, you know, he's going to align our life up with his will. He's not going to strip you of everything you love to do, but he's going to change it up and line it up with his will. We talked about over there at Stanford last Sunday, I was telling them, you know, for all of you that are just wearing yourself out, well, what am I supposed to do for the kingdom? Where am I supposed to go? What can I do for the Lord? Where am I supposed to serve? Hey, let me just relieve you of that. Your calling's not up to you. When you start seeking God, when you get close to God and you start asking God and telling him the things of your heart, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And guess what? He'll bring the calling to you, and you can take that calling and you can run with it. He'll bring it to you. Run to the enemy. We serve the one and come up here every Sunday and serve the one that has already defeated him. So we shouldn't be backing up, and we shouldn't be a punching bag for the enemy, for Satan. Just like David was telling Saul, man, I've already, the one who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll do the same thing with this goofy looking sucker out here. Man, he's got plans for you, and he's got every gap that you can't fight, he's there. Just take him with you. Take him with you everywhere you go. Believe it. Remind the enemy with your mouth. There's power in the tongue. Speak the scripture over your life. Speak the scripture to the enemy. You're driving in your car, having a bad thought, having a weak day, speak it out loud. Turn the radio off and yell like a shout, like Connor was talking about. Tell him, man, you got no place in my life. I've been made new. I've asked the Lord into my heart. I went under the waters of baptism. I'm a new person, man. The guy you're trying to jack with is gone, dead. Remind him. And never forget that it ain't all about us. It ain't all about you. Man, when you get through your battles, you could be somebody else's breakthrough. And what a blessing that is. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for these people and this family. Lord, I thank you for this series that you put on Cody's mind and his vision, God. We thank you, Lord, for Cody. I thank you for his mind and how you let it go so far out, God, so that we could grow and come to a place where it's something fresh and something new every day, God. And that it ain't the same old stuff, God, but it's things that we can just put to our lives in 2025 and us as parents, God, as we can align it up, Lord, to learn how to raise our families, lead our wives, and do the things that you've called us to do, Lord. So we just thank you for him and this church. But God, I pray for the ones who are fighting the battles in here today, God. Give them the power, give them the charge that David gave all the thousands in that army. Give them the charge to whip the enemy. God, give them the fight and the backbone and the mental capacity to tell him that you ain't nothing, bud. I serve and live for the one who's defeated you. The only power that the enemy has is that the authority that we give him. So stop giving him any power. Renew your mind. Hold your thoughts captive. Throw it down. Stomp it on the ground. Speak it away. Speak life over you and your family and your kids. And Lord, I pray over these men in here that have families and men that are going to have families and these young men in here, God, that you would give us a new charge to be different, to not seek the norm, to not do what everybody's doing, to not say what everybody's saying, to not be wasting our money on what everybody's buying and because we think we need it and all the things. God, just help us. Help us lead our families. Help us be different, God, to all these kids and children in here, Lord. Let the talk in the locker room change. Let them be the change. Let them be the difference, Lord. Let them walk the halls of the school a little bit different. Give them the confidence, God, to stand out, to be different. Because right here we learned that a young man, a young boy can be used. So it doesn't matter how big we are, how old we are, or anything. It can start with any of us. It just starts with one. Give these kids the confidence to be the one, Lord. To send a charge through these schools and through the things that they're a part of, God, in their sports. Speak to us, Father, in this last song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.